Acts, the 12th chapter, please. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, starting verse number 1. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Rise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. The angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them out of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went unto another place. Now as soon as he was that it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Let us pray. Father, again thanking you for the wonderful portion of Scripture that we've just read. Thank you for this wonderful story. Lord, what a marvelous display of your wonderful power and grace and mercy we see here in this account in your word. Once again tonight, this preacher needs your power, needs your wisdom. He just needs you, Father, to help him as he preaches, to do your will. And Lord, then just do accordingly as it sees fit in every one of our lives through the word of God. And we'll remember to praise you and thank you for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message tonight on the subject of prayer and how it opens doors. God's way of doing things, a little bit different than ours, but God doesn't go out and do a whole lot of seeking people and their power and what they can do. He just simply does what needs to be done. Tells his people then to depend upon him, and he has this channel that we use called prayer. In other words, we can get done what needs to be done if we'll just ask God to do it. And we're going to look tonight and see what had happened in this story, and maybe it'll help us to understand the wonderful power of prayer. I don't know about you. I don't know how you feel about it, but I've thought many times. I think about things when I read the Bible, and I try to put myself in these positions, and it's sometimes hard to do, but I think about it. I think about if I had been Peter, and I was getting ready to be executed tomorrow morning. Have you ever thought about that and thought about, would you be asleep? Now, I don't know about that, but I wondered. I was thinking about that, and I thought, I don't know whether I'd been asleep or not. It might have been one of those all-night prayer sessions. But I do know this. The Bible teaches us that Peter simply went to sleep. And there's some good reasons for that, and we're going to look at those a little bit tonight. But first of all, we just simply see in verse number 5 that the Bible, of course, before that tells us that he was taken prisoner, and they had already killed James, and Peter was taken prisoner. But there's an astounding thing that happens in verse number 5. In verse number 5, he simply says, Peter therefore was kept in prison. And there is then a conjunction that is put in there. It says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. In other words, it's astounding to me to look at this, and then all at once we see him in prison, seeing all these things happening, and just all at once it says, but prayer was made. Now, I don't know whether you've ever noticed in the Word of God, but it's interesting to do so. I'm going to take you over to the book of Romans for just a few moments. The book of Romans, in chapter 5 of the book of Romans. But it's interesting in God's Word to notice, as it is here in verse number 5, we see in verse number 5, we see simply something being stated. You know, he's in prison. This is the way it is. Looks bad for Peter, but prayer was made. Now, I don't know whether you've ever noticed in the Bible, but there's a lot of buts in the Bible that simply are astounding, that change the whole situation. That I mean just simply, you're coming along here, you're doing this, and all at once God says, but. And everything else changes. But as you read the Bible sometimes, look for those. I'm going to take you to chapter 5, verse number 6. It says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, it looks bad for us. We're in bad situation. I mean, there's no hope for us. I mean, it's serious business. And then all at once it says, but God commended his love toward us. I mean, changes the whole thing. You go over in verse number 16. Do we need some air on? I see people fanning. Do we need air on? Somebody take care of that for me, please. Renus, can you take care of that back here for us, please? Whatever needs to be done. But we find in verse number 16 of chapter 5, it says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. I mean, the whole picture is changed there. God takes over, God does something, gives us a free gift, and the whole picture changes. If you look down in verse number 20, one of the most wonderful verses of Scripture, he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And you find this throughout the Word of God. You'll find this wonderful statements being made, and all at once it looks bad, everything's bad. And as it is here in the life of Peter, I mean, it looks serious business. It looks like he's going to die, and all at once, but prayer is made. And this is one of those things that you and I need to understand about prayer. We have just got to be a praying people. Now, we can just talk about it, and we can say, yes, we should do that, and we pray a little bit here and there, but I don't think we really grasp the understanding of how important prayer is. See, Satan has a great power. Now, it's not great like God's power. We know that, and that's what we're going to look at here for a little bit. We're going to look at the power of Satan. Satan had the power to reach down, stretch forth through Herod, and vex the church. That's what he says in verse one, number 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And if you notice there, he chose certain people in the church that he knew would vex or hurt or cause harm to the church. Now, Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said something. He said, Satan never kicks a dead horse. I want you to remember that. That's a great statement. You may not think so right off the hand, but why in the world is Herod here vexing the certain of the church? Why is he doing that? Well, he's not kicking a dead horse. He's kicking somebody who's alive, who is doing something. Things are happening, and he's going to do everything he can to change that. What he did is he began to attack the church to stop it from doing what it had been doing. Now, folks, get a hold of that and understand that. That sounds elementary, but let me say to you, Satan's doing the very same things today. He's attacking the church, and he's attacking not the dead churches. He's not attacking those that are not doing anything for God. He's attacking those that are doing something for God, seeing souls saved, seeing things done for the glory of God. And he is still attacking. He's in his business of vexing the church. And he'll do anything he can to do that. Now, back in the book of Acts, the second chapter, we're not going to go back and read all this, but you're familiar with the scripture. You remember on the day of Pentecost, there was 3,000 saved. Now, the way I understand the scripture, the way if I'm understanding it correctly, those same 3,000 got baptized. I mean, they just followed the Lord in baptism. And I'm saying also in chapter 4, you'll see also in chapter 4 another account, and it says that 5,000 men were saved. You imagine that? 5,000 men were saved. We find in chapter 4 also, after this all had happened, we find that Satan then began to attack the church, and the apostles that had been in the leadership there of that, they all at once were attacked, and they were threatened for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you see these threats come up on them. In chapter 5, you see another problem arise. You see Ananias and Sapphira. And the Bible says that Satan had filled their heart. You think that old Satan is not in the business of doing and causing stir in the church? Oh, certainly he is. You see, you're not thinking right if you think that old Satan's still not doing the very same thing today that he did back in those days. And Ananias and Sapphira, you know the story there. They lied to the Holy Ghost and lied and said they, when they sold it, they gave all. You know, God said it was yours to keep. It was yours. But why did you lie to the Holy Ghost and say you gave it all? They had not. So again, a great stir came. Problems arose. You know, they both were killed. God took their life. But the Bible says a great fear came upon the church. And I'm saying today, I really believe this in my heart, there's very little fear in our church today. We don't fear what Satan can do to us and how he can destroy and how he can hurt. We just simply go on our way. We meet usually. We go home, forget about the church till the next meeting time. Folks, there's more to it than that. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to ask God to do some wonderful things for us and help us and protect us. Why? For the glory of God. Not just for us as individuals, but for His glory, for His work. Then you go on down into Acts number 6, chapter 6, and you'll find then the problem arose over the widows. And of course, there was another problem that had to be taken care of. It was a stir coming. I'm sure Satan helped bring that because the Bible says there was murmuring made. And you know, God's people who are right with God don't murmur. So we know that Satan's involved in that. So it was another problem that had to come, and they had to then get all of that straightened out. Chapter 7, you'll find that Stephen, of course, that wonderful story about Stephen and how he preached that wonderful message there. And at the same time, at the end of that, they took him and stoned Stephen to death. In chapter 9, you find the Apostle Paul used to be Saul, the Pharisee. He got saved. Boy, you talk about making Satan mad. I mean, he's mad. Here's one of his choice servants. And all at once now, this man is going to be a man of God. The Apostle Paul, soon to be used to write at least around 14 books of the Bible. God used him to do that. What a marvelous thing. What a marvelous servant he was. But Satan is mad. Now, 9 years approximately passes, and chapter 12 comes on the scene, and one of the apostles, James, is killed. And of course, this pleased the people. I mean, they were pleased. The Jews were pleased about this. They was glad to see James killed. James was the leader of the church there in Jerusalem. And he was killed, and then so Herod seen that it pleased the people because of that. He then decided, well, I'll just arrest Peter. And we'll get Peter arrested, we'll put him in jail, and we'll take care of him right after the holiday season, whatever it was there, the festival season. And he says, we'll take care of Peter, and we'll kill him also. It pleased the people. They was glad about that. Now, let me say something to you. It was the Jews that was doing this, and it was the Herod that was doing all this thing. But let me give you a truth that'll maybe help us, maybe help you. Listen, folks, old Satan uses people. There's no doubt about it. But to waste your time fighting people, you're just wasting your time. It's not people we need to fight. It's the devil we need to fight. It's prayer that needs to be made. In fact, if you'll go over to our wonderful book, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. You know, I laugh and kid about that some, but I want to tell you something. Ephesians has been one of the best things ever happened, bless Old Baptist Church. The book of Ephesians, and I don't know about you, but I'm excited in the chapter 6. I can't hardly wait to get to some of that. I think it's exciting because we're going to get into the soldier of the cross. And then we're going to get into the warfare that he's going through. And I want to tell you right now, Satan doesn't like that to be exposed. He's got wiles going around everywhere, and we need to learn to how to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so it's, I think it's exciting. The book of Ephesians has been good for us. It's helped us to grow as individuals and mature in the faith. But you look over in chapter 6, and you see in verse number 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Let me just say to you, it's not going to do you and me any good to spend our time fighting people. We're going to have to fight the principalities and power of darkness. That's where our enemy is. Now, I understand we have to deal with people. We have to do that. We have to deal with them. We have to deal with the situation. Satan uses them. Satan uses people. No doubt about that. But what we need to realize is that this is a spiritual battle. And prayer needs to be made. And we as God's people needs to get busy and on our knees praying, calling out to God, and asking God for help. We, in our adult Sunday school class, we've asked our people, and we've kind of made a pact together. We've handed out, Sister Moore made us out a list of all the children that come to our church here. And if by chance some of you are not, somebody's not on there, why, she's making an update and she'll add to it. You just need to give her the names and all this. But we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God for protection for these children. And we're going to ask God to do something with their lives. We're going to ask God to use them. I mean, we want your children, these sweet little children, sitting all throughout our congregation. I mean, God wants to help them and bless them, and we need to be there praying for them every day. Send them off to school and wherever they might be going with prayer. And send them off knowing that there's a people here that love them and going to pray for them. And I'm not just talking about the little children. I'm talking about on up through high school. I mean, we're praying for them. Amen. And we're going to continue to do that. We're just going to pray them right on through school. Amen. We're just going to do that. We just kind of took that on as a project. We believe it's right. We believe it's of the Lord. So we want to do that. Well, folks, listen. As a church, we've got to pray. We've got to ask God to protect us and take care of us and watch over us and do what needs to be done here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You take a church that does not watch and pray as the Scripture tells us to do is already headed for disaster. The Word of God tells us to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And we have got to be a watchful people and a praying people. You and I need spiritual discernment. When you need to look around with a spiritual eye and look at things and see things that's going on and help this church and be a blessing to this church. We need some spiritual discernment that people are not just out after you, but the devil is out after the work of God. See, and we need to understand that. We need to get off of this self business and onto God's business. What's going on? Well, Satan hates the work of God. He's doing everything he can to destroy it, and he will continue to do everything. So let us not just be just personal problems. Let us do everything we do for the work of God, to help the services. Brother Renas came to me this morning, said back in this corner right now, probably in the area where John and Terry and Bill and Bob and some of those are sitting right now. But on Sunday morning, we've got a group of bus kids. They're a little older, and they're just causing all kinds of problems during our church services. Now, that's got to stop. I mean, you'll be surprised if they would tell you some of the things that's going on back in that little corner. Somebody's got to pitch in and help us. Somebody's got to stop that thing. I don't want to have to stop all the time while I'm preaching and stop that. That's not good. That affects me. That affects the Word of God. And I ought not to have to do that. So you're going to have to pitch in. Somebody's going to have to get their eyes open. Say, what's going on over there? Brother Renas done that this morning. He stepped out, went out the back, came in over and sat down beside some of them, got some of it stopped. But they just sat there with a smirk on their face. You see, they don't care about the work of God. What I'm saying is we've got to put a stop to it. Amen. We got to step in. You got to keep some eyes open. Quit worrying about yourself all the time. Amen. We got to be concerned about the work of God. Got to do something about these things. So, Sunday school teachers, look, if it's some of yours, well, help us do something. Amen. Help us get this thing stopped, because we just cannot have that going on. People are being disturbed all around them back there. Amen. Being disturbed all around them. Can't hear the word of God. You see, so I'm just simply saying to you, let's don't do that. Amen. Let's help each other, and let's help the services. You see, help your preacher preach. I'm serious about this. Now, I'm on a campaign tonight. See, okay, I'm on a campaign. But I'm serious about this. There'll be a lot more amens in our services. Sometimes things just get so quiet, I thought y'all went to sleep. And you know, I'm not saying you say amen every time I open my mouth. I wouldn't say that. But you know, when a good statement's made, a scriptural statement's made, don't be afraid to say amen. I mean, just say amen. It's good. It helps your preacher. It encourages your preacher. It exhorts your preacher. But not only that, it also exhorts the people around, saying, well, listen, they think that's good preaching. That's good, you know. That's a right statement. People are agreeing with it. People are saying amen to it. You see, that's good for us. Now, I'm not talking about being foolish. You know that. Not talking about every little word, just amen, amen, amen all the time. But I'm talking about when something right is said, don't be afraid to say amen. See, that's good and that's right for us to do. It encourages, it helps the services, you see. So anyway, we need to be a people that pray and watch. Keep our eyes open to these things, you see. And if we don't, let me assure you one thing, we are headed for defeat already, because God's the only one who can help us. And we need to invoke His power, not ours. We need His help. You see, and we need to watch, and we need to pray. So we as a people need to get busy and get our prayer life straightened out and get praying like we ought to pray. So we've seen now, you look at this thing, you see the power of Satan. Satan has power to vex the church. He has power to disrupt the church and the work of God. And he does that in all little kinds of ways that you just can't believe. What I'm just simply saying to you, let's be watchful. Let's be more concerned about what's going on so that we can get God's work done in this place. Amen? That's all right. Now, also then, let's look now at the power of praying. Now, when I say that, you have the power of Satan, but praying invokes the power of Almighty God. I mean, it gets His power into action, you see, and His power is greater than all. So what are we going to do? Are we just going to sit back, not ask God for help? Are we going to give these little 10-second prayers and forget our prayer life for the rest of the day? Or are we going to get down and we're going to cry out to God and ask God for help for Blessed Hope Baptist Church so that we can continue in the work of God and get His work done? Why did Satan attack James and Peter? Folks, don't you understand? It's because too much was going on. Don't you understand? Why did he attack certain of the church? Because there was too many wonderful things that God was doing. And he attacked to try to get it stopped. I mean, James, he ran a sword through him and took his life. And Peter, he arrested him, was going to do the very same thing to him. Why? To stop the work of God. Too much was going on. Wonderful things was happening. Let me say to you folks, you need to pray for Christian leaders. People out there that's on the front lines, you and I need to pray for them. I mean, we need to ask God. I'm talking about these men are standing out there on the front line doing the will of God. I'm not talking about these liberals. We might pray for them, but we need to pray different for them than we're praying for the other ones. We'll pray for them that they get right with God and get their message back right and doing right. But we need to pray for Christian leaders. And we need to spend time in prayer asking God to help. You need to pray for your pastor. Now you need to do that. You need to call my name out to the Lord constantly in prayer and ask God to do something. You need to pray for Pastor Jerry. You need to pray for him. You need to ask God to help him and do something for him and protect him and take care of him. You see, we need prayer, and we need it because we need God's power and protection in our life, you see. Over in, it's something special about prayer. I'll have to admit, I don't understand all there is about prayer, but I know the truths of it. And you go over to Acts, the fourth chapter, and it's amazing what prayer does. Let me show you the fourth chapter, and I'll just read verse number 1. Excuse me, verse 31. I said verse number 1. Verse 31, chapter 4. Said, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, folks, as I said, I don't understand it all. All I know is this. When you pray, it invokes the power of God to move. I'm just telling you, that's what happens. And the Bible tells us here, they were assembled together, prayer was made, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Just something about prayer just gives us the power of God, and God intervenes through prayer. You say, well, God knows what we need. I know, but He's told us to pray. And that's the way He answers, you see. He's told us to pray and ask Him, you see. And we've got to do that. We just can't sit back and just wait and just hope that God will do something good for us. We have got to pray. Now, Peter here was asleep in prison. I want to give you two reasons why basically I believe Peter was able to sleep. I mentioned about prayer a while ago and it moving. Listen, prayer, remember this statement, prayer moves the hand of God. Just remember that. Prayer moves the hand of God. You know, I don't know all that happened. All I know is that Jack Kestner went in there, it's a very sick man, and multitudes prayed for him. There was others, you know, rather than our church praying for him, people who knew him, and other churches was praying for Jack Kestner, and all I knew, it moved the hand of God. And God done a good thing. And God took care of Jamie Lofton. God took care of Lloyd Nicholas when he was in the hospital because the prayer moved the hand of God. God took care of Renus Ragnar back there when he was all through his sicknesses and all those things. God moved because there was people praying and asking God. God moved upon Bo Ackerman when he had his problem there and trouble and all of this, you know, health problems. And God moved. You see him done a wonderful thing. I see Maxine Moore out there had some surgery. I see Ruthie English had some surgery and all of these things. And I'm going to miss somebody. And they'll say, you didn't think of me. But I do. Brother Allie's sitting there. You know, listen, folks, if you look around, you see the miracles of God sitting in this presence in this place. And it's because prayer moved the hand of God. And God intervened and God did something. Amen. And you see, to Him be the glory. Now also, this coming Friday, we need God to do it again for our son Bob. Don't let me forget tonight at the end of the services, we're going to have prayer for him tonight because he works in the Master's Club on Wednesdays. And so, but he's going in on Thursday afternoon. Is that when you're going, or you don't know yet, but going in on Thursday, and then Friday morning he's going to be operated on. And we need God to move again. Do we not? And you know, prayer moves the hand of God Almighty. And we need to pray, folks. We need to pray for Bobby as we've prayed for these other ones. I forgot, but Brother Poette sitting back there, God moved, and I'm sure multitudes was praying for Brother Poette. Had a bypass. Was that of how many?
Quadruple bypass.
Can you imagine that? And God moved. Here he sits here beside his good wife, sitting there in church, listening to the word of God. Oh, my folks, don't we understand how God moves? Our God is so good, and it's because prayer moves the hand of God, you see. And I say to you, we just need to remember how much we need to pray. Amen. Be a praying people. But there's two basic reasons why I believe that Peter was asleep there that evening. It says I'll get back to my text. In chapter 12, it says in verse number 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between the soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. I just want to give you two basic reasons why I believe that Peter was asleep. First of all, he was asleep because of the Word of God. Now you say, Brother Ross, why the Word of God? Because the Word of God gave him comfort, and Jesus had told him something very special. I want to take you back over to John, the 21st chapter. Something very personal. John, 21st chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, this is Jesus speaking to Peter. And he says, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. All I know is this. The Word of God tells us that he told Peter, he said, you're going to get old. Now, you know, you and I don't have that promise. God didn't tell me I was going to get old. But he told Peter. He said, now, when you're young, you'll do pretty well what you want, but when you get old, there's going to be those who carry you where you don't want to go. In other words, and he said it's signifying the death that he would suffer. Now, what I'm saying is, here Peter is in jail. He wasn't too worried about it. He said, no, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to get old. Jesus already told me that, and I'm not too worried about this. And again, though, I'm simply saying, even if you didn't know how old, the Word of God gives you just sweet comfort. It's precious to know and have the promises of the Word of God. The Bible tells us that great peace have they who love the law. There's just a peace about knowing the Bible, the Word of God, and that God, that we know it's true and God's going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. There's just something special about that. So Peter, I think, went to sleep trusting in the blessed book, the Word of God, knowing that God was going to take care of everything. And not only that, of course, in verse number 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And a second reason I believe he went to sleep is he knew people were praying for him. You notice, if you will, read on down through there, you'll find out when he got out of there, he went immediately to the house there where they was gathered together. I think word had got to him they was going to be gathering and they was going to be praying. He knew immediately where to go when he got out, and he found a group of people there who were praying. Let me say to you, they were not sitting around eating popcorn. And I'm all for eating popcorn. Brother Charles knows that. On Tuesdays, I try to find my way out to the activities building. That's popcorn day around here at the school. And for some reason, I always feel this leading to kind of make my way out to the activities building. And Brother Charles says, well, there's Pastor. And he just automatically, he just goes over to the popcorn machine and begins to get a sack of popcorn for his pastor. Say, well, I'm all for eating popcorn, but not when we ought to be praying. Amen. I'm simply saying, folks, listen, these people prayed. They asked God to do something special for Peter. You see, they knew what to do. They didn't have to be given instructions. They said, we've got to gather together and we've got to start praying. Let me give you a little scenario that, and just ask you something, just a question. I know that I'm not James, and I know I'm not Peter. I don't even come close to being that. But just let me ask you a question. What if Pastor Ross was arrested and they took him and they run him through with a sword? And the people of Jasonville applauded, said, about time got rid of that guy. That's what they was doing for James. No, the Jews was happy. They was glad. You know, he's a fanatic. Let's get rid of him. And so Pastor Ross has run through with a sword, and people of Jasonville are all around talking about it and thanking someone for what happened, grateful for it. Then all at once they see how it pleased the people, so they come out and arrest Pastor Jerry and put him in jail. Says, we're going to take him when the weekend's over. We're going to take care of him. Let me ask you what you would do. What would you do? Because that's exactly what happened here. What would you do? The Bible tells us in 12th verse of chapter 12, that many came to that prayer meeting. It says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, there where many were gathered together praying. I wonder what we would do, and would we maybe say, going to be praying for you, Pastor Jerry. Hope everything turns out all right with you, but I've got to go to Terre Haute. I've got some things to take care of over there. Got to go Christmas shopping. Or, I'm sorry, I don't have time for prayer. You know, I got my job, my obligation at job to take care of. You know, I hope everything works out for you, Pastor Jerry. Wonder what we would do. The Bible says that many came to that prayer meeting. I want you to notice also, they were not trying to come and to the Sanhedrin and influence the Sanhedrin not to do anything to Peter. I want you to notice they was not going to Herod and trying to bribe Herod. I want you to know they were not holding demonstrations down at the jailhouse. I want to tell you what they did. You already know. They went to their God and said, God, only you can get him out. And they began to pray. I'm saying to you, we rely too much nowadays on men and what we think men can do and the influences of men and the power of men, and we forget the great power of God Almighty. Let me say to you, if that ever should happen here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and Pastor Jerry ends up in jail, will you please have a prayer meeting? Amen. 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 And I mean many come. I mean, put aside all the things that you had to do. Drop them. Get to the house of God, gather together, and begin to invoke the power of God Almighty. Because he's the only one that can set him loose. Amen? Let's quit depending on men. We have God. He's a powerful God. He can do anything. And we need to remember that here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We need to get back to praying and invoking the power of God Almighty. In closing, let me leave you a statement made by Thomas Watson. He said this about this situation here. I thought it was so good. The angel fetched Peter out of the prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. Amen? I don't know about you, but I like that. And if you just understand that, that's exactly what happened. God's people got busy and began to pray, and God just sent an angel down. Opened the doors, took care of everything. Those people were sleeping. They didn't even know what was going on. Took him out to that iron gate, and the Bible says it opened by itself. Iron gates are no problem with God. You see, we just need God's power. So I'm asking God's people to pray. Will you pray? Will you realize your battle is not against flesh and blood? It's against terrible principalities and powers of darkness. I mean, they're all around us, and it is there. And we need to realize there is our enemy, not individuals. Satan uses individuals, no doubt about it. But that's not our enemy. Oh, Satan's our enemy. Please pray. Will you do that? Please pray for your church, for the work of God. Why, Brother Ross? Just so we can have a nice church? No, the work of God needs to get done. So that we'll be free to continue to go out there on buses and bring boys and girls into the house of God that they might be saved. Where individuals will still be free to go out here and see their friends and their family members and people like that and lead them to Christ. So we'll be free to do that. Oh, Satan is working. He's doing everything he can to hurt, disrupt the work of God. We've got a great God, and all we need to do is go to him and trust in him and believe he can set the captive free. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for your wonderful, wonderful kindness to us, your wonderful grace. Thank you for this marvelous account in your word. You just sent one of your angels, Father, down and took care of one of your choice servants and set him free. But thank you, Father, for that group of people that was gathered in that house, praying, invoking your power, asking you to do something. And Lord, you responded, and it moved the hand of God. Help us to move your hand to do what needs to be done through prayer. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.